Hey guys, welcome back to the channel. Now before we start, I just want to take just a couple of moments of your time to thank you all for putting up with us while we've switched from doing live streams to these premieres. Now we still have the chat open for you guys because we love seeing the chat and all the comments, and we understand a lot of you guys have built relationships. I think that's very profitable, so we want to keep that going. We just got a lot of stuff going on that we have to get taken care of here. And so we hope to get back to live streaming, hopefully by the end of the year. We've got some technical challenges in the building that we're in, and so we're working hard to overcome those. So again, I just want to take time to sincerely thank you guys for putting up with us during this time of having to upload these premieres. And we definitely appreciate you guys' prayers. And by the way, okay, so even though you're watching a sermon that I preached last Wednesday, you know, keep sending us your prayer requests because we are still praying for you guys on Wednesdays. Okay, you can text them, you can email them, you know, you can throw them in the chat. As long as somebody acknowledges you, you know, they'll make their way to me. We'll get you taken care of. Okay, we love praying for you guys. We love, you know, hearing the praises that you guys have. So definitely keep them coming. June 12th, I preached a sermon about false prophets. Now, I'll give you a little secret about this sermon here, okay? So I preached this sermon on June 12th, and then we discovered that it wasn't fully recorded. So, since we want to keep these premieres going, what I had to do is preach it again. Well, the way my schedule was, I wasn't able to do it Thursday. Friday, we have spiritual leadership class, so I preached it after that. So, if I look a little tired, a little loopy during certain parts of the message, now you know why. So, anyways, again, just bear with it. It's a good study. We're going to take a look at the fruits of false prophets all the way from the root up through the tree and then right down, like I said, to the fruit. Enjoy the message. God bless. All right. Well, Matthew chapter number 7 tonight. So if you look down in your Bible's verse number 16 says, "You shall know them by their fruits." And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to look at who are them. And what exactly are their fruits? So it's going to be a good study on how to recognize false prophets this evening. Now, it's kind of interesting with this title here. So I titled this sermon, "How to Be a Fruit Inspector." And what I find interesting in that title is that I actually used to be a fruit inspector. Well, more specifically, I was a food inspector in the military. After I left the infantry, I realized that I was not exactly equipped to be around people, and especially in the civilian workforce. So I came up with this plan to get another job that would equip me to get a better job when I got out of the military. And I do believe this was by God's design. God actually opened this job up for me when I was with the person trying to find a job for me. Not a recruiter, but a reenlistment person. He just basically said, you know, this job doesn't ever come up very often, and I think you should take it. I think I've only seen this maybe once or twice in my life. There's less than 1,000 of them. So I signed up. I took it. It was a great opportunity. I spent 4 years working with the USDA. I became a subject matter expert in fruits, in red meats, dairy, and eggs as well. Now, when they were training us to be a fruit inspector, one of the things they would do is they would just roll out a bunch of plums or roll out a bunch of oranges, and we would just have to sort through them, which ones we thought were good, which ones we could tell were bad. And out of all of the ones that we thought were good, they would come by and open some of them up, and inside you would find that some of them were actually rotten, which was, you know, kind of weird because it's like, well, it looked good on the outside, but yet on the inside definitely was not good. And so what they would do then is sit us down and give us all the details about how fruit grows from the root to the fruit. And that's how it was. And then we would just practice feeling, smelling, looking, observing. And over time, it got to the point where most of the ones that we thought were good, and when we would select them, they would turn out to be good. We got better at, you know, identifying fruit that was bad. And of course, we've all heard people say that Matthew chapter 7 not only teaches not to judge, but that it also teaches that if you're really saved, you're going to have the works, right? Who's ever heard that? Yeah, we've all heard that. You know, I can remember specifically soul winning the old IFB church up in Washington one night, and we had gotten somebody saved and came back. We were getting ready to leave, and the guy was leading the soul winning group was like, "Oh, so how'd it go?" I was like, "Oh, great. You know, we gave this guy the gospel, got saved, all is well." And he's like, "Well, we'll really know if they got saved based off their fruits, right, Joe? You shall know them by their fruits." And I'm just like, it's not even what that's talking about. We've all heard that. I'm sure everybody in here has heard that. If you haven't, you probably will at some point. And it just demonstrates the gross biblical ignorance that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Now, you're there in Matthew chapter 7. But what I want you to do is go to Matthew chapter number 12, and we're going to go ahead and work up a first point for the evening. I'm just going to give you three quick things tonight to think about, to meditate on in regards to knowing them by their fruits. So, Matthew chapter number 12. When you turn there, go over to verse number 31. Matthew 12, verse 31. Look at what it says. So Jesus speaking here says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy," I want you to note that word there, blasphemy, "shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men." Now, when you hear blasphemy, you hear that word, what do you think of? Okay, when you picture somebody blaspheming, what comes to mind? Well, I know for me, what comes to mind right away is somebody saying like GD or somebody taking the Lord's name in vain with their words, correct? Now, obviously, there are things people do that are blasphemous. I get that, okay? But look at what it says next, and it'll highlight the context for you in verse 32. "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him." You see how that contrasts to the first part of verse 31 where he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Now look at what it says again in verse 32 after the colon. "But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So what are we dealing with right off the bat here? First two verses. Okay, we're dealing with blasphemy. And then in verse 32, Jesus mentions words, speaking words against the Holy Ghost. Okay, so we're talking about words. Now look at what he uses in verse 33 to put this all together. And we're going to make this into a point here. Look at verse 33. He says, "Either make the tree good." You see that? Everybody see that? Make the tree good. He says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt." And look at this again. Here's that word again. "And his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit." So the first point this evening, what we're looking at here is this. The first fruits are words. The first fruits that we want to get very good at identifying false prophets with are their words. Okay? Because remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." So if you study, if we become good fruit inspectors, okay, and we trust the Bible, we understand what Jesus is saying here, we're going to realize that we can know who they are. And the first way that we're going to get really good at knowing who they are is by understanding their words, what they say. Okay. Now, I'm going to have you guys, let's look at a couple other things here, okay? Let's look at verse 34. Let's just continue on here. Look at verse 34. So back on the subject here, okay, with words. So fruits can also be words. It's where we're studying. Look at verse 34. "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Okay? Now we could almost spend all night here if we wanted to, okay? "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things?" Now, this is where we see a lot of people get into trouble because they see somebody, maybe it's online, maybe a family member, somebody they know in ministry, and externally, everything looks good. Externally, everything seems good. They're very kind. They're very giving. They have a lot of works. They're esteemed at their work, or they're esteemed in the community, things like this. But yet, their words are evil. Evil in the Bible means to hurt. Okay? Their words, they are violating Scripture somehow. And we point that out to them and we're explaining, hey, you know, this person only believes in the original manuscript authority, okay, which is an attack on the Word of God, which is a violation of the Word of God. Okay? And why is it that those people can't see through that? Right? We point that out and they're just like, yeah, but they've got everything else. It's because they're not good fruit inspectors. They have not been able to separate their emotions and how they feel about a person based off of what they can physically see. Okay, they haven't been able to separate that from the truth and use the eyes that God gave them inside of their head to look internally, okay? Which we can do. Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruits. This is a guarantee. If we follow the teachings here and we understand there is a process to this, guess what? We're going to be able to identify these people, okay? And it's not going to be easy. Look, I say this all the time. These false prophets, they're not going to come into a church like this with a megaphone and be like, repent of your sins and just be completely different right out of the gate. Now, every once in a while, something similar to that happens. People come in here and they're just like, oh, I can't believe you guys believe once saved, always saved. You know, but those people are just out to lunch, okay? What we're after are the people that want to come in subtly, okay, and have the snake attitude, the yea hath God said. Those are who we are always on the lookout for, okay? And not just people that come in here, but people that are influencing out in town, on social media, what have you, okay? Again, verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? So when we point out that these people are evil because they're speaking evil against the word of God, okay, we need to get people to understand because they're evil at the root, they cannot produce good fruit. It is impossible. It is not going to happen. I don't care how well the external is. It won't happen. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Again, we need to teach people how to separate their emotions and what they see on the external, okay? To separate that and start to look on the internal and analyze the fruits. And fruits are words. That's the most abundant thing that we are given from people. These people are constantly dropping their words. They're constantly speaking, making videos, trying to make points, trying to talk to you, trying to get in. Okay, listen to what they say, but be well versed in the word. Okay, you're gonna have to study this. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle, look at this, word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So again, you guys see that. And he starts off where we began reading there in verse 31 about words, okay? And then he goes into fruits, and then he goes back into words. So the Lord is trying to tell us something here, that we're going to know them by their fruits, and the most abundant resource that is going to be available to you, available to us, are their words. Okay, so again, if we're going to be a good fruit inspector, what are we going to do? We're going to understand that. Right? We're going to understand that we need to be well versed in the word, okay, in the word of God. And then that's obviously our root, and that is going to translate into recognizing fruit, their fruits, and so on and so forth. So that is the first point of the evening. Now let's go ahead and go back into Matthew chapter number 7, and let's begin working on this here. Okay, so we started off verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but look at this, inwardly. Okay, let's read the rest of the verse now. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Okay, what's a ravening wolf? A ravening wolf, a wolf that is just ravenous, just ravenous, just hungry. Okay, what you got to understand is that the Lord is telling us that false prophets need to eat. They need to feast. They need to make converts. And the way that they are going to do that is by creeping in. And this is something that we're commanded here to be aware of. Okay, to understand. So he says, beware of false prophets which come to you. You see that there? Who's the you? Well, it's you, it's the saved, it's us. We need to be aware of false prophets that come to us. But obviously this extends to people out in the community, sons of Adam, because this is the Sermon on the Mount, and the Lord is preaching to a mixed multitude. There are people that are saved there. There are people that are hanging in the balances whom we would call the sons of Adam. Okay, and so obviously, you know, he is warning them as well. But the point here is that false prophets will come to us in sheep's clothing. Okay, this is not an external matter. Now, yeah, there are people out there that it's pretty easy to identify that they're false prophets. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, Joyce Meyer. I mean, that's just crystal clear. You know, I suffer not a woman to teach. There she is teaching. You know, there's several examples like that. I mean, some of these people just can't hide it. They just have the gift of gab, and they're able to use their aura to go out there and make money and to prey on the simple folks that are out there, okay? That's like the low-hanging fruit. That's the easy stuff to see, this Benny Hinn charismatic stuff, at least in my opinion. I mean, for us, it's pretty easy. A lot of people, even in the world that aren't saved, they can see through a lot of that stuff, okay? But we're after the subtle guy. We're after this type of person here, okay, that has the external. You know, a lot of false prophets, you know, you're going to find this to be true. A lot of times, you know, you're not going to know because they don't manifest it. They've got everything in order externally. You're not going to be able to find anything on them. They're going to seem to have everything put together, the good life, the good wife, the good, you know, car, the garage, you know, the five-car garage, all the stuff, and claiming that God's, you know, blessed them, or maybe not. You know, it just depends. The point is, hey, we have to learn to look on the inward with the Word of God if we're going to be able to see their fruits, okay? Because outside, that pear, that apple, that orange, it's going to look good. But when you get inside, it's rotten. It's brown. It's deteriorating. There's worms inside of there, okay? That's what we're dealing with here. So the second point of the evening is this, okay? A good inspector of fruit will study the root, okay? And there's a couple of verses in the Bible that obviously point to Christ being our root. Revelation 22, also in Isaiah. We're going to look at those next week. But we want to study the root. So the better that we know our truth, the better that we know the Word of God, the easier it's going to be to see beyond, okay, to see beyond what the external, what someone's trying to throw up in front of us. It goes back to my days inspecting fruit. You know, we would grab things. Okay, this one looks good. It feels firm. It's got a good look. You know, it smells all right. I'm going to put that over here in the good pile. Instructor comes over, cuts it in half. Boom, rotten. You know, bruised inside. And it's like, how did you know to cut that one? You know, and the instructor, well, I've been doing this for 30 years. But also, you see that one little round spot right there at the very entrance of where the stem was? Yeah, guess what? That's a telltale sign. You know, they would say things like that to us. Oh, wow, just that little small detail on that plum, and you knew that it was bad on the inside, but it looked good on the outside, okay? How did he know that? Because he had been studying the root, from the root to the fruit, and everything in between, the tree, how it grows, all of these different details. The deeper that you understand one that's good, the better you're going to be able to spot a mismatch or a false one. And that's another thing that they would do to us. They would just, they would do this with all sorts of stuff, but especially with fruits and even meats. You would just get a tray of good ones, ones that they knew were good, were going to be perfect on the inside, and you would pick them up and look at them, smell them, and just get really good at looking at what the good fruit was. Okay? And the more that you did that, the easier it was to pick out the bad ones. And so that's what I'm saying here, that a good inspector of fruit will also study the root. Now, I want to have you guys turn to 2 Peter chapter number 2 real quick. 2 Peter chapter number 2. So again, point number one this evening, okay, fruits can be words. Now, obviously, fruits are also more than words. False prophets do other things other than verbal. Okay, we're going to have to get into that another time. But I think the most abundant one and the focus, at least of Matthew 7 here and Matthew 12, are in regards to their words. Okay, if we can't understand that and get beyond that, then it's going to be kind of hard to get into the more, you know, deeper stuff. So we're going to stick to that for right now. So that's the first point. Now, the second one, a good inspector of fruit will also study the root. Now, let's see where that takes us here. Okay. And basically, again, right, study the internal, not just the external. Okay. Because they're going to have the external put together.
2 Peter chapter number 2, look down here now at verse number 1. Look at what Peter says. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there, look at this, shall be false teachers among you. This is a guarantee. Okay, Jesus gave us the guarantee that we shall know them by their fruits. Peter is also confirming something for us, guaranteeing us something, and that is what? We will have false teachers among us. Okay? So he says, false teachers among you. Now look at this. Who privily, you see that word there, privily? We're going to get back to that. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. I want you to think, okay? I want you to think Matthew chapter 7, and verse 21 through 23. Okay, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. We're going to come back to that, okay? So these false prophets, okay, they're going to be among us, and they're going to, again, privily, secretly, covertly bring in what? Damnable heresies. Heresies that send people to damnation. That send people to hell. And you're going to see that in Matthew 7. You already know where we're going, but look at the rest of the verse. Even, look at this here, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Okay? So, that verse there, okay? Just like Matthew chapter 7, you see the you there, the us, okay? And then we see this privily. They're going to bring in these damnable heresies secretly, covertly, not announced with a bullhorn, okay? And they're going to bring these in, meaning they want to bring these in to the body of Christ, and they will even go as far as to deny the Lord that bought them. So here's a question. How are they going to deny the Lord that bought them and still appear externally righteous? Well, the answer is in the verse. They're going to do it privily. They're going to do it very subtly. Okay? They're going to do it in a way to where most people, unfortunately, will not be able to detect. So, let's look at an example of that in the Bible. 2 Timothy now. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look down at verse number 5. So, look at what Paul says here. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, now look at this, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Okay, you see that there? There is a group of people that will have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. What did Peter say? We said that these false prophets that would be among us would privily, secretly, privately, try to bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Okay? So, here Paul says that a certain group of people are going to have this form of godliness, and they're also going to deny the power thereof. Well, we know what that is. Okay? That's the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. Okay? But what I find interesting really are the first four verses before verse 5. Look at some of these attributes here. Look at verse 1. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So dangerous times are coming. Why is that? Well, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Okay? Selfishness abounds. You know what selfishness gravitates towards in professing Christianity? The original manuscript onlyists. Okay, that movement there. Because what that movement does is basically teaches without saying the words that there is no absolute authority, there is no absolute truth, that God's word could change on a whim depending on what's discovered or what's revealed or what the next scholar says or what have you. Okay, so of course a person who is selfish is going to gravitate that way because they can have God however they want. Okay, again, it all goes back to that Burger King Baptist mentality. The cafeteria Christian, I'll have a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I'm satisfied. I'm good. I've got my own religion, a little touch of Christ, a little bit of this. We're good. Okay, so we've got in verse 2 here, people are going to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Look at this, blasphemers. Okay, blasphemers. You see an increase in that today, don't you? Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So this group of people here, I mean, they're all sorts of things, okay? They're blaspheming, and it's not just with cuss words, okay? They're cutting down God. They're denying the power that God has. You see this all the time. Okay? I talk about this quite frequently because it's one of the biggest battles that we have, and that is the preservation of the Word of God. To deny that is to blaspheme God, is to say you can't do it. You can't preserve your words, God. Now, unholy, okay? I mean, is there not a movement out there against fundamentalists? Aren't they trying to equate fundamentalism with terrorism today? Yeah, exactly. That's what they're trying to do. In fact, a lot of times you run into these guys that go to these big mega churches and like, oh, fundamentals? Oh, boy, that's just sounds harsh and that just sounds divisive. Well, it is what it is. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword, okay? And this is the sword. It does divide. It does cut. We all know that. Look at verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Look at this. Traitors, verse 4, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Wow. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But yet, they're all of these things, but yet, verse 5, having a form of godliness. Okay, so you're going to have all these different attributes that Paul writes about in the first four verses, and yet they still have a form of godliness. But Paul says to Timothy, but don't worry, they deny the power thereof. That's how you're going to recognize them. Okay. And so what that means is that when you're reading these things, okay, it's not going to be just necessarily so obvious. Okay. It means that you're going to have churches, you're going to have people doing all of these things, but they're going to be called something else. Oh, it's gentle parenting. Oh, it's the, you know, it's being progressive. You know, it's not natural affection. You know, it's just, you know, some people choose to live that way. God made certain people different. You know, they're going to have different names for these things, but we need to recognize what they really are, okay, and be able to call those things out. So, again, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What are we supposed to do with these types of people who claim to be godly, who have a form of godliness, but yet we're like, dude, that's selfish. That's unholy. You have beer night at your church. You're doing less services. Everything's sensational. You know, all of these things that we constantly point out with professing Christianity, you know, we call them out for these things, but yet they still have a form of godliness. They still have what they call a Bible. They still have church members, congregation, brother, sister, communion, Lord's Supper, right? They still have these things, but they deny the power thereof. And you know how they do that. They attack the Word of God. Look, your church is something only. You're either preservation only, meaning you believe that God has preserved this truth, and obviously for us, that's the King James Bible, or you're in the original manuscript only movement. Okay, you're in one or the other. Don't let people try to pigeonhole you. Oh, this is divisive. Okay? Yeah, the Word of God is divisive. That's the whole point. It divides, it cuts, it pierces, okay? It slices through all of the deception, it slices through all of the fruit, and exposes what's on the inside. That's a good thing. That's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to behave. But from these people, we're supposed to turn away. We're not supposed to have fellowship with them. We're not supposed to be like, oh, that's okay. I'm just going to love on them until they get right. No, turn them away. When people are denying the power of God and they're denying this, oh, my sweet aunt who's, you know, gone to the Nazarene church her whole life and baked cookies for everybody and, you know, gave Malto meal to the kids downtown. Oh, surely God wouldn't send her to hell, even though she's just a little bit wrong on the gospel. Look, nobody's just a little bit wrong on the gospel. You're either right or you're wrong. That fruit is either good because you're in the good root, the root which is Christ, or it's bad. Okay, you're either rooted in Adam or worse, you're rooted in Satan. Look at verse 6. For of this sort, okay, so of this type of person here, these types of people, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. So who are they after? They're after people that are already caught up in a bunch of sins and already caught up with diverse lusts. And so they can relate to these women. They can relate to these people. They seek these people. Why? Because they're already selfish. They're already without natural affection. So it's easy for them to relate to these people. What do? They relate, they get into their house, and they take them away. Nowadays, that's done every single day on YouTube, Rumble, social media, TV, all that stuff. It's very easy today for false prophets to get into people's homes. Okay, it's a battle that we're having to deal with. See, back in the day, they'd actually have to physically go to people. Now, it's all digital. They come in real quick, and it makes our job much, much harder, which is why we have to be as sharp as absolutely possible in today's day and age on the Word of God. And that's not to say they shouldn't have been like that back in the day, or they weren't. Okay, it's just today, no excuses. You have got to be a student of the Bible. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And of course, verse 9 says they will proceed no further and their folly will be made manifest to all men. So, with that being said, okay, let's go back now to Matthew chapter 7 and get back on track here. So, point number one, okay, the biggest group of fruits that are available to us are what? The words. The words that these people use. Okay, that's what we're going to learn to analyze. And the best way to do that, you already know, make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You're reading, you're studying your Bible yourself to show yourself approved unto God. Okay, that's the best advice you're ever going to get on this subject. That is what's going to make you a good fruit inspector. And that's why I put that for number one. Number two, okay, a good inspector of fruit is going to study the root. And what I mean by that is we're going to learn to study from root to fruit. How well can you, do you understand the resurrection? If I were to give you a piece of paper and say, define what resurrection is, would you be able to give me the verse in Acts? Would you be able to name the two components? Would you be able to say that it is two parts, okay, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption? Not like the NIV, which just says his body wasn't left in the grave and his body wasn't going to decay or something like that. Okay, completely denying the resurrection. Okay, completely denying the very nature of Jesus Christ, that he's fully man and fully God. You get where I'm going with this? Okay, so study from root to fruit, the whole thing, the whole counsel of God. Okay, that should be your ideal thing. That should be your driving force. Obviously, listen to sermons. Sermons are great. Okay, listen to as many as you can tolerate. But I'm telling you right now, okay, that has a tendency to puff you up. Okay, the Bible's very clear on this. Paul's very clear on this. Knowledge puffeth up. Okay, you need to put in the work. You need to put in the work yourself. You need to be proving that what I'm saying is even true. Don't just believe me because I'm a pastor. Look it up for yourself. Learn these things on your own. Okay, you are the inspector. You have to do the work. You have got to study. So that's point number two. Now, let's work into number three here. Verse number 16, you shall know them by the fruits. He says this right after. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Rhetorical question. This doesn't need answering. The obvious answer is no. Okay, so he's like, Jesus is like, hey, think about this. Okay, you're not going to go to a thorn bush and start gathering grapes. You're not going to go to a shrub of thistles and start picking off figs. It's not going to happen. You will not go to a apple tree and expect pomegranates or oranges or lemons. Okay, that is not going to happen. That does not happen. That teaches us something. When we can identify that what someone's saying is evil, okay, guess what? That fruit is evil all the way through the branches, through the tree, all the way down to the root. From fruit to root, every single time, you can guarantee it. And if you can separate your emotions, if you can step back and say, you know what? I know this seems good. I know this has a form of godliness externally. Okay, something's not right. There's something rotten on the inside. And if you can get to that point, you're going to be doing very, very good. You're going to be able to help a lot of people and save a lot of people from damnable heresy. Okay? And what else does this tell us? Well, this tells us that we can judge and we can in essence, judge these people's salvation. Because if the fruit's rotten, if the fruit's evil, then the root's evil. Well, if the root's evil, the root's not Christ. Okay, it doesn't work like that. So understand that. Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree. I want you to pay attention to that word there, corrupt. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Very basic, very simple. Now we're going to build this third point here. Go to Genesis chapter number 6, okay? Genesis chapter 6. So we're looking at this statement here. Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Do a study here on the word corruption in the Bible, or just corruption in general, you're going to find something always right by its side. And I want to just show you a picture of that here in Genesis chapter number 6. Picture the old world here before the flood. Look at verse number 11. Look at the language here. The earth also was corrupt before God. Everybody see that? And the earth was what? Filled with violence. Okay? So the whole earth during this time, during Noah's day, was what? It was corrupt before God. It wasn't corrupt before man, because man was doing what was right in their own eyes. Man was just doing whatever, okay, by and large. Okay? But that resulted in something, and what was it? It resulted in the earth being filled with violence. So all corruption leads to some sort of violence. So point number three really just points to point number two, and that is that corruption is rooted in violence. That is where it leads to, okay? That is where it leads to. Now go to Jeremiah chapter number 23. What does it even mean? What does violence even mean? Okay, is it two guys in the UFC fighting? Is that violent? Is a boxing match or a hockey game, is that violent? No. Okay, violence means to violate. Okay, to violate something, to go against someone else's will, to invoke either physical force intended to hurt, damage, or kill someone or something. So in relations to what we're studying tonight, okay, the violence that we're going to be looking at is based off of false prophets, okay, and what they say, their fruits, okay? What you're going to find is that they violate the Word of God. Okay, they will at some point in time, in some way, shape, or form, violate the Word of God, violate a doctrine. Let me just show you a quick example of that, Jeremiah 23. Look down at verse 36. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 36. In the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. So obviously Jeremiah preaching here, southern kingdom of Judah. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have, now look at this, perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Okay? So the charge from God through Jeremiah to the people, to the southern kingdom of Judah, is that you're going to go into captivity because ye have perverted the words of the living God. So in other words, the living God gave some living words, and man said, we don't like that. We want to make it more suitable for us and our agenda and our needs and what we want to do. And God says, that's not okay. That is an act of violence. That is perversion. That is to pervert the living words which came from a living God. So, I mean, does everybody track that? Okay, our God is living. Would you agree? Amen. Now, that's obvious. It's like very basic stuff here. Okay? We serve the risen, resurrected Savior. We serve a living God who's described as the Word of God in John chapter 1. So what does that mean? What that means is that the living God can only give living words. He doesn't give dead words. He doesn't give words that don't, you know, go out into the earth and just, oh, just get buried or anything like that. No, that's ridiculous. Okay, that's insane. Jesus said that an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So when you hear people, when you hear these preachers saying, well, you know, I know the last part of Mark there, you know, really doesn't belong, but we'll read it anyways. Or, you know, God forbid that you say, you know, we're just not going to read it at all. Okay, or you're missing verses in Acts. You get the point here. Okay, when they're doing that, they are perverting the living words which came from the living God. They are violating the word of God. They are corrupt. That's it. There's no, oh, you know, they're just mistaken. No, they're corrupt. Okay, and so you can bank that their fruits follow their fruit pattern all the way through the branch, through the tree, all the way down to the roots. Guess what? That root is evil. That root is evil. It is corrupt. It commits violence. It is no good. Now, let's get ready to wrap this thing up here. Go back to Matthew chapter number 7. And what I want to do is I want to show you guys the results here of this. So remember, okay, let's real quickly break down Matthew chapter number 7. Obviously, the first, from verse 1 all the way down, you could say to maybe verse 14, okay? You're looking at how to properly execute judgment, brother on brother, in the church, Christian, saved people, okay? And then, just so that we don't get mixed up, like people do, and say that you should never judge anything at all, Jesus brings up the subject of false prophets. And what does he say? What does he say? Verse 15, beware of false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruits, right? So it is a guarantee that we will know them by their fruits. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Okay, so he brings up false prophets right away so that we know judgment has its place, especially, okay, especially in the false prophet realm of things. So, again, verse 20, he just kind of solidifies that teaching from verse 15 all the way down here and says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Okay? Now, I want you to see this connection here. He's not just throwing out like random subjects here. Okay? What you're about to read next is the result of people partaking of these bitter fruits, which came from a bitter root. You could put it like that. Look at this here right away. So verse 20, everybody see this? Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Look at what he says immediately now in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Of course, the will of the Father, John chapter 6, verse 40. It's very clear that we would see the Lord, obviously through the word, and believe on him and be saved. Okay, that's the will of God. So, that's not what this is about. Okay, what this is about is what he says right after, by their fruits you shall know them. Look what he brings up next. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Interesting. Why would they be standing before him saying, Lord, Lord, unless they have a form of godliness? And we know that the attributes of those people, 2 Timothy, right? We just read it. And we know that these people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Okay, at some point in time, they bit from that evil, corrupt fruit, and the seed germinated and it rooted down and they became the same thing. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. These are people who were not aware of false prophets. They didn't get the memo. They didn't get the message. They didn't understand. And therefore, they partook of that fruit. And it was damnable heresy that was brought to them privily. All of these things are connecting right here. This is the result of us not being aware. And this is also motivation for us to get after it and to start calling out false prophets and to make sure that we do all that we can do to stop them, to get the truth out there. Because guess what? What do? They bring in damnable heresies, and they do it privily. Remember, internal is where the battle's at. That's where you're going to find the proof, right? That's where you're going to find the proof. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Remember, it's about the internal, not this external. Verse 23, what happens? Great white throne judgment right here. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What happens after this? You go read Revelation, what happens after this? Chronologically, what happens right after this? These people get thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death, which lasts for how long? That's right, forever. Forever and ever. You can leave your place there in Matthew 7. Go to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, we're almost done here. I just want to bring this up because we're going to talk about it next week. Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now look at this. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So obviously, we all know this. The Lord Jesus Christ is our root. So everything that we do, all of our fruits, okay, guess what? They're not corrupt. They're not corruptible. Some people are going to come to you and they're going to try to use certain verses in Matthew chapter 7 that we've already gone over. And they're going to say, see, if you're really saved, you're going to have these fruits. We'll break that down next week. We'll understand that. It'll be good to go. One last verse I want to leave with you, which is Proverbs 12:12, which says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Okay? Again, we have to understand root to the fruit. And that's how we're going to become better fruit inspectors. We need to be good fruit inspectors of our own selves as well. Okay, we need to make sure that we're proving things that are acceptable unto God. And of course, the only way you're going to do that is to go to the root, go to the Word of God, go to the Bible. So just a quick recap. Okay, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Again, this battle that we face today, it is very deceptive. Peter said, beware of false prophets, which come to you privily. Okay, they're going to be among you. Okay, he said the false prophets were among the people, just as false teachers would be among us. They're going to bring in damnable heresy privily. It's not going to sound quite as obvious as you might think. Okay, it's going to be subtle. It's going to be that whole, yea, hath God said. Okay, and we're going to have to look out for that. And so we're saying here just three quick things. Okay, what's one of the fruits that's always available for us to inspect? It's words. Matthew 7, very clear. Matthew 12, very clear, right? Talks about blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Talks about blaspheming and speaking a word against the Holy Ghost, and then equates that with fruits, and then goes back to words. Okay, we need to be up on our word and make sure that we have the good fruit, right? And that we're constantly looking at the good fruit from the good root so that we can be better off at inspecting the fruit of false prophets. And so that's really the second point. A good inspector of fruit will study the root. Number three, the root of false prophets is violence. The very root of this corruption, when people say and attack, right, they got the form of godliness, but they're denying the power. They're saying, well, in the original manuscripts, in the Greek, it says this, you know, they're saying, hey, you need me to tell you what God said. That's Catholic. And we always say that. But that's so true. That is Catholic. That is not Christian. That is not Christianity. That is not the living God giving living words. That is their God giving dead words and man filling in the gap and picking up where God supposedly left off. It's blasphemous. It's speaking a word against the Holy Ghost. It's wrong. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's how we were given the scriptures. And to attack that and to say, well, you know, we got a pretty good amount of consistent scripture, but, you know, this passage over here in Mark is in question. This passage over here in Micah, it shouldn't really be there. James, a lot of people think it should or shouldn't be there. It's up in the air. But the book of Enoch's great. Should have the book of Enoch. Be careful. Hey, be careful. These people are attacking the living words which the living God gave. And it's not just some little, oh, they're just a little bit wrong on this. No. That tree is evil and cannot bring forth good fruit. And we're commanded that people that deny the power of to turn from such, to turn away from them. So hopefully this helps. It gives you some things to think about. And it's always good to review these things. It's always good to talk about strategies and points on how to get better at inspecting false prophets, because we live in a world that is absolutely filled with them consistently. And we're out there knocking the doors. We're out there trying to get people saved, and we've got to know what our fruit says. We got to know very well so that we can help people. That's the goal, is to help people. So that being said, let's stop right there and pick it up next week. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.